Good morning, church.
Come on, bro.
It is awesome to be back with the family. I haven't been back here at church for a couple of weeks. As you know, I've been with my wife at the hospital. But it is so awesome to be back here with family and be back here with all y'all. And look at that, all y'all. I'm already, you know, how do you say that? I'm from California. I shouldn't be talking like that. But it's also just really exciting today. The room is full. You know, we just got done with summer and school starting now. So all of our campus students are back. And so welcome back. I walked in and I've seen people I haven't seen in a few months. And Demetrius walks in the room. He's like, surprise. And, you know, but I'm just really, really excited to see you here today. And also we have Enterprise. As you guys, you know, Enterprise, our little row of the church right there, they meet two hours away from here. And so they don't come every week, but they're here today with us. They usually have a house church out there, but we're just so fired up to have you guys with us. So let's go ahead. Let's start out with a word of prayer. And we'll get into the, normally I'd have a screen here that would show the title of the lesson and scripture. So today we're going to be a little bit old school. Because today you're actually going to have to read your Bibles. So as I was thinking about it, when I first walked in the room, I was like, man, you know, there's no screen here today. There's no, you know, PowerPoint with the scriptures and all that. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a good thing. It gets us used to actually opening up our books. And you'll notice I have mine all electronically, but let's go ahead. Let's start out with a word of prayer. God, we just love you so much, Father, and we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful, God, to be able to walk into this room and feel the excitement and the family feel, God, just the fellowship, God. As I was talking to people earlier, I could barely hear what people were talking to me, God, because there's just so much excitement in the air and the fellowship. And Father, we just know that it's all because of you, God, and we're so grateful today that we get to know you, Father, that we get to have a relationship with you. God, that you've put us here, God. It's not by coincidence. It's not by chance, Father, that we're sitting here today. It's only because of your grace. And Father, we love you and we're so grateful, God, for all that you do in our life. We could never repay, not even a little bit of what you've done for us. And but Father, we just really ask that today you would really help us, God, as we look into your word, as we think about this starting of a new semester, really a starting of a new year here in the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church, God. We really ask that you would really guide us, God, and really help us, Father, to be filled with your spirit, to be filled with your love, God. Please, God, help us to learn today what we need to learn, God. And Father, we're just so grateful, God, to be here this morning. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about impossible. Now I had the first lie was M cut out to make it possible, but we're going to be talking about these next couple of weeks just about impossible things that only God can do. And for some of you guys, you know, I know there's a lot of new faces here. There's been a lot of impossible things that have happened in my life. And actually, what the last couple of weeks, Marge and I have just been sitting down once in a while and just thinking through and really thinking about all the incredible things that God has done in our life over the last couple of years. I have a list, and the list goes long, and I'm just going to name off and talk about a few of them. But even coming here to Auburn a year and a half ago, you know, it's only been a year and a half. It feels like it's been a long time, but it's only been a year and a half that God brought us here. And I remember just out of the blue getting a phone call saying, hey, you want to come to Auburn? And we're like thinking, Auburn? Like, where is that? Have no clue where Auburn is. I've heard of it, but there's also, I believe, there's an Auburn in California, I think. There's a couple of different Auburns. There's one in Massachusetts. There's one in Washington State, too. Okay, so when they said Auburn, I was like, where? Another one?
Georgia.
Okay, so there's a lot of different Auburns, and I'm thinking, Auburn? Well, which one? Where am I going? And but God really had a plan, and at that time, we were going through a lot of just discouragement. Like, how are you going to use us next, God? And it felt like this is kind of an impossible place to be in, and I don't know what God's going to do right now. But God did amazing things. He brought us here to be a part of this, a really incredible family. And but it's been a really up and down year. This last year, my wife, Marge, who's not here, by the way, today, and I'll fill you in a little bit how she's doing. About 6 months ago, she was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer. And it's been kind of a crazy few months here. And there's been so many times where I just sat like thinking to God and praying to God, like, God, like, it just seems so impossible. How are you going to take care of this? What are you going to do? And I remember just hearing the news about that. And I was freaking out more than Marge was. I remember our first trip, we went after, you know, we started getting online and we started looking, probably what a lot of people do. We got online, like, you know, who's the best doctors and where should we go and what should we do? And so we're looking and we find this one doctor, and I may have told this story before, I don't know, but I'll tell it again. But we find this one doctor, he is supposedly the best around. And so we get on an airplane, we travel to New York, and here we are in New York. And we're there for a couple of days. They had extended our stay because the doctor made a mistake. We actually had to stay an extra week out there. Here we are going from place to place in the freezing weather. We felt like, God, if this is the people that are going to help us, like, do they even really care? We got a phone call when we got back, you know, and they said, you know, we were on the phone no more than 5 minutes. And the doctor said, I was not expecting to be on phone this long. And I was thinking, you just diagnosed my wife with cancer. Can't we ask a few questions? Would that be okay? And I felt like, wow, like here's a situation. Is this ever going to get better? Is it ever going to change? My wife, but while we were in New York, actually, we were watching HGTV. We didn't have anything else to do. It was freezing cold outside. I don't have cable at home. I turn on HGTV and I see an advertisement for a cancer thing. And it turns out that this place is an hour away from our house and they've given us the most phenomenal care that you could imagine during this time. And I think, God, you did something impossible. Here we are going on our own way of doing things. And you said, here's another way that's going to be better. It's my way. She had her surgery, as you guys know, a few months ago, and surgery went well. Actually, it was only like a little over a month ago, her first surgery. And then she had another surgery last week, but she did have, in the first surgery, they did find out she had stage 3, and we're thinking, wow, what's, and there she is right now. We're thinking stage 3 cancer, and we're thinking, like, God, like, this is pretty bad. Like, this is impossible. Like, where else in the body has it spread, and what's gone on? And found out after surgery, no cancer spread anywhere else. And so the surgery was successful. And then last week, she had to go and get another surgery to kind of put everything back together and get everything good. So the surgery went awesome, and I'm thinking, God, this is great, you know? This is really awesome. You pulled us through this. And then about 3 days later, she had an infection earlier, it started coming back. And I would say the pain that she had was worse than both surgeries put together because of this infection. And here we are sitting in this room, and they're trying to change the bandages, and Marge is crying, and I'm sitting there like, I just don't even know what to do or what to think. And I never thought I'd have to watch my own wife go through that much pain. It was just really one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through. But God is amazing, and even the fact that she's here today with us, you know, it really shows that God is just so awesome about doing something that's seemingly in our mind so impossible to fix. You know, I mean, just what the doctors even did, it's not even them, it's God's. I mean, how do they do what they did? They, you know, put her, take things apart, cut things off, and put her back together again. I mean, it's like, it's only God that she's here today. And so, you know, it really got me thinking about all these things about just all these impossible things that God's doing, it just got me thinking about this is what I really want to start talking about here. God, as I was praying these last couple of weeks, God really put the scripture we're going to go over. And this is a very familiar scripture, so we know it. We've talked about it before, but I feel like I want this to really shoot off where we go the next couple of weeks in talking, because we worship a God who can do things that we think are impossible. He makes them possible. And that's why I'm so excited to be able to be here today and to preach this. And we're all right now, we're starting the new year here, and we're starting a new year going to school. And there's a lot of things that you might have in your mind where you're thinking, man, this is going to be really tough. It's going to be an impossible year for me. It's going to be so hard in this. And maybe my job's feeling, you know, it's really difficult here. And I don't know what God's going to do in my life in this situation. But I want you to know that God can make turn the impossible into the possible. And so let's look at a scripture here, and look over in Mark. So again, we were supposed to have a lot that was going to be up on here today. In fact, I have some diagrams. I don't even know how I'm going to communicate to you. But since we don't have it here, we're just going to have to wing it a little bit.
Come on, Mike.
But look over in Mark 9. And Mark 9, verse 14. And I just really feel like, you know, God really wanted me to share this today. And I really felt like I needed to follow the Spirit in really sharing the scripture. Because I really want this to be where we are as a church this year. That we have such an amazing amount of faith, an amazing amount of belief in God, that He can do anything in our lives. Mark 9 in verse 14. It says, so as Jesus heals a boy possessed by an impure spirit. It says in verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And we'll stop right there for a second. So here was a situation that was going on, was that there was this guy, this boy who had this spirit, and it was a pretty big deal, right? I mean, imagine having something in you that would seize you and throw you to the ground, and then you would start foaming at the mouth and gnashing teeth, I guess just like hitting your teeth together, and you become rigid and you can't move. I mean, this was a very big... I mean, imagine being the parent of that child. I mean, you would be looking at that child going, man, I don't know if this could ever change. This is something I've never seen. I've never seen this, and I couldn't imagine his parents ever seen this. And so there was a little bit of an argument that broke out there, because Jesus asked them, he said, "What are you guys arguing about?" And apparently they were arguing about why the apostles weren't able to do it, weren't able to heal him. And, you know, because the apostles, as we know, they were empowered to do stuff like this, right? As we know, the apostles in the Bible, they went around healing, they went around doing all kinds of great things. But for some reason, I don't know if that they lost a little confidence. I don't know what it was, but for some reason, they were not able to heal this boy. They were not able to do it. And, you know, even though Jesus empowered them to heal, they weren't able to do it. You know, and I was thinking about it, isn't that just like with us? There's so many things that God has empowered us to do. There's so many things that we know through the scriptures that God allows us to do. And I mean, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And I think sometimes, just like these apostles, we can start losing a little confidence that God really can do impossible things in our life. You know, and you don't have to turn to these scriptures. I hope you have your Bibles open, though, because, again, we don't have it up here. So you should, hopefully you have a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, please share with the person next to you. But you can write down these scriptures. You know, when I think about some of the things in our life, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You know, that's a promise from the scriptures. That's something that you and I both have because of Jesus. Romans 8:37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We're more than conquerors. We can get through and over anything with the help of God. You know, that's a promise. 2 Corinthians, this is the ESV version, says this. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us to triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere." That's a pretty cool scripture, right? It says that he's going to lead us in triumphal procession. He's going to bring victory in our lives. May not be what we want, but it's going to be what we need. Come on. You know, and then it says he can use us to spread to share about Jesus. Sometimes we feel like, well, God really can't use me. And yet it says here, God can use us to help other people. 1 John 5:4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." You know, we can overcome the world. We're not bound to this world. We're not bound to the way it does things. We can overcome the sin, the temptations of this world. Mm. You know, and I think just like these apostles, sometimes we can forget these things. You know, we can forget. I've been a Christian now. This year will be a quarter of a century that I've been a Christian. And, you know, a quarter of a century, that's 25 years of studying the Bible and going to church and being in fellowship. It's been incredible. But I know that when I get a little bit lazy on my Bible study, I can start forgetting that God has empowered me to do incredible things. You know, and I think that's what was happening. As we go back to the story here in Mark 9, the apostles, the reason why they were not able to heal was because I think they just lost confidence in the power that God gave them. You know, where are you today in that? Do you feel like you have been emboldened by God, that you have been given power from God, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? And because of that, it doesn't make you better than anybody else, but you have God living inside of you that can help you get through anything. You know, when I thought years ago, you know, even thinking about, you know, people getting cancer, I thought, man, I could never go through that. I told Marge when she got cancer, I don't know if I could be a good caregiver. I don't know if I'd be able to take care of her. I don't know how to handle these things. And yet I look back and God's allowed me to do that. Not because I'm so awesome. I'm really weak. But when I look at what God does through my life, he allows me to do things that I don't even think I can do. You know, and this is what the apostles needed here. They needed to know that God was working through them, that they could heal. You know, and then we look at what Jesus' response to that is in Mark 9:19. He says, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And I just like, I mean, you look at here, like Jesus wasn't like, "Oh, you poor guys." I mean, he just flat out rebuked them, right? He says, you know, you're an unbelieving generation. You're unbelieving in this generation. This generation is, I mean, Jesus was pretty, you know, it made him a little bit disturbed that these people didn't have faith to believe that he could work through them. And he says, you unbelieving generation. You know, and you think about that. When we hear about generation, you know, we think, well, you know, these people back then, they were really bad. Why they didn't have faith. But you look at, have you ever thought about our generation today? I mean, you think about our generation. And sometimes we've used, I've even talked like this. Well, you know, they had sin back in the day and people were all the same back in the day. And so really, it's kind of the same as it was now as it was then. Well, there's some truth to that. The way that God views our sin, right, he views sin as sin. So coming from Jesus, God looking at us, yes, that is true. But when you look at our generation and where the world is going right now, we got to really start looking and thinking that we are in a really messed up generation. And, you know, I wish I could show you these things on a graph, but I had some really cool things here, and I'll try to describe them to you. But, you know, we're all into a different generation, right? So we have, do we have any greatest generation in here? That's if you were born before 1928. I don't think there's anybody in here, right? Okay, that would make you, you would be like really old. Okay, the silent generation was born from 1928 to 1945, okay? The boomer generation was from 1946 to 1964. How many boomers are in here? All right, so we got some boomers. All right, come on, boomers. We got are there any Gen X's in the house? That means that you were born from 1965 to 1980. Woohoo! There's only two of us in the whole room? Wow, okay. Okay, and then we got the millennials, which was 1981 until now. Okay, so we have a lot of millennials. And before I even comment about this, I just want to say that is awesome that we have so many millennials in the room, because when I think about Christianity, it's not something that I just do for me. It's something that I'm doing for the future generations down the line. So the fact that a lot of our church is young actually fires me up as an old guy. Yeah. You know, we need that, because when you get to be my age, you're going to want a lot of young, because they're going to continue spreading the word of Jesus. You know, I remember going years ago, going to churches that were just all old. And I'm like, no, this is not it. You know, so we all are in a different generation. But one thing that we know just from different polls that have been taking is that from the greatest all the way down to the millennial, each generation has gotten progressively worse when it comes to their understanding and belief in God. So the first chart I was going to show you is a certain belief in God by generation, meaning it's the percent saying they know that God exists without a doubt. Okay? So the greatest generation, they were, I'm just doing, because I can't show you the whole graph, I'm just doing the latest one in the 2000s. The greatest generation was at 71% of the people believe that that God is certain, that he's for sure real. Then you get to the boomers. Then you get to the silent. They were at 68. The boomers at 65. Gen X at 61. And millennials are at 53%. This is the lowest. As time has gone by, each generation has believed less and less and less in the power of God. We live in a generation today where, yes, there's a church on every corner, especially in a town like this, but not everybody believes that God is truly real. You know, another poll that was taken, this one was on views of the Bible. So this is the percent saying the Bible is actual, the literal word of God, meaning that it's not a man-made book, but the Bible comes from God. Okay, so starting with the greatest, they're at 39%. We're already starting pretty low on this one. The silent generation is 37. The boomers are 33. Gen X is 32. And the millennials are at 27% believe that. I mean, that's got to start frightening us. When we start seeing the world around us not even believing that the Bible is the truth anymore. And we see it in our world, right? We see how things are changing. Okay, the next one is daily prayer. The percent saying they pray daily, okay? Now, we'll start with the greatest. They're at 74%. The silent, 71%. The boomers at 62%. The Gen X at 54%. And millennials are at 41%. Only 41% of the people say that they pray. And when we say pray every day, they might only say those 41% range from good prayers to maybe a couple words. But when you look at where the world is going, I mean, first you look at people don't believe in the Bible anymore. They don't believe in God anymore. Well, what does that do to our prayer life? It makes our prayer life really, really bad, right? And then we get to how the world now starts living its life because of where we are as a generation. So this was a view on homosexuality by generation. Percent saying that same-sex sexual relationships are always wrong. Okay, the greatest said 78%, silent 70%, the boomers at 56%, the Gen X at 47%, and the millennials at 43%. So and you can see why the laws are changing, right? It's changing not because people are better or worse. It's because people are not believing in God anymore, and we're not believing in the truth of the Bible. We're not believing in the power of God. You know, we can look at the same thing. Views on pornography. Percent saying that pornography should be illegal for some people of all, for people of all ages. Okay, the greatest, though this one is very, very broad, at 63%. I don't know if you can see this one. I'll try to blow it up. At 63% was the silent. Then the next one, I mean the greatest. Then the silent was at 57%. Then the boomers were at 37%. The Gen X were at 30%. And the millennial is at only 21%. And when you look at that on the graph, sometimes we look back to the hippie times when people were running around naked and stuff, and we think that was one of the worst times in history where people, at that time in the 1970s, the boomers were at 22%. They were a percent higher than where the millennials are today in their view on pornography. That's got to scare us. What will the next generation look like? What will the next, I mean, think about that. If it's gone that drastic downhill, what will your kids and your kids' kids, what kind of world will they grow up in if this is the way things are going? You know, will they even have a chance to believe in the power of God in their life with the world around them so strongly pulling them in a different direction? You know, and so when Jesus said, my computer keeps shutting off. When Jesus said that you unbelieving generation, he wasn't just talking about that generation. He's talking about how each generation has gotten worse and worse. What would Jesus say today if he looked, if he came here and he was able to be on TV and you heard his speech? What would he say about the generation that we live in today? It's scary, you know, and it's no wonder why so many people today, we have such a hard time believing, even Christians have a hard time believing that God can truly do the impossible in our lives. You know, it really comes down to what generation, what are you going to follow in your life? I think we are pulled so much by the generation that we live in. We're pulled by the kingdom of the world, the world standards. You know, so you think about it, you got the world standards and you got God's standards. And you got to ask yourself, which kingdom will you allow to influence your faith? The kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? I mean, it's so easy. You turn on TV, we can be so pushed to go in this direction. You know, we see how laws are changing, how what used to be considered sin years ago is now considered norm. I mean, you look at TV shows, and I remember years ago, like I was watching I Love Lucy. I think I mentioned this before, but like I Love Lucy, sometimes their beds were separate, even with a husband and wife. You know, and Marquia would know that, right? She watches that all the time. And now the things that are showed on TV and in the movies, it's considered normal. And even as Christians, we just look at those things and go, well, that's just the way it is. But we got to not think like that. We got to go, which kingdom am I going to live in? Which generation am I going to follow? Am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to follow what the generation at this time is telling me to do? And I think a lot of times what we try to do is we try to stand right in the middle, thinking, well, you know, I can be a little bit on God's side. I go to church on Sundays, and I even own a Bible, and I'll read it once in a while. But, oh, my friends, they're going out and partying, and they're doing all these. I can just be involved a little bit because they don't know that I'm a Christian and I love God. You know, and we think that we can kind of juggle between both worlds. But the reality is we can't, because we're hurting. The world is hurting because we've lost that connection with God. We've lost that understanding that He is the one. He's the one that can give us the power. He's the one that can change our lives. He can do anything in our lives. You know, do you believe that? You know, does it scare you where our generation is? You know, and where is your faith today? Where is your belief? Have you allowed the world to influence how much you believe that God can do the impossible in your life? It's very easy to do. The Holy Scriptures are under an attack today. They're under an attack because it's so not the norm anymore to follow the Bible. And so, that's what was happening here. Jesus says, you unbelieving generation. Let's go back to the story in Mark 9, verse 20. It says, so they brought him, when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. You know, this was a nasty evil spirit, right? I mean, can you imagine whenever this spirit takes over, that the boy, I mean, imagine if you had this, you're walking along and there's a fire here, we just throw you into the fire, you know, or there's some water, like throw you in the water. Like, I mean, can you imagine living like that? I mean, this was a pretty impossible situation. And the guy asks, he says, but if you can do if you can do anything, Jesus, please take pity and help us. And what is Jesus' response to that? You know, he says in Mark 9:23, he says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. You know, what do you mean, if I can? You know, Jesus was offended by this. What, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I hold all the power? Don't you know that the reason that you exist and the reason that you can breathe right now is because of me? Wow. He was offended by that. You know, and I think we got to ask ourselves, when we follow the generation of this world and we don't believe in God in this way, that He can do the impossible, we got to see that God is offended by that. Wow. He still loves them. He still loves us. But he was offended by that. Don't you know who I am? Our lack of faith offends Jesus. Let's go on with the story. Mark 9, verse 24. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only can come out only by prayer." You know, here you got the boy's father, and I really do respect the response of this boy's father, because he says, "I do believe," this is in verse 24, he said, "Help me, Jesus, help me to overcome my unbelief." That's a pretty humble response, right? Yeah. He goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, I believe in you, but I have been lacking in my faith. Please help me to overcome my unbelief." Wow. You know, and I think that this is a question, or this is the way that we've got to react when we look at our unbelief of things. You know, I think sometimes we're very good at picking out sins and saying, "Well, oh, you looked at pornography, that's bad," and it is. You smoking, that's wrong, and it is. I hope you guys are not. I'm just saying, when we look at those kind of sins, you know, we go, "That's a sin." But do we see that our lack of believing in Jesus, believing that he can do the impossible in our lives, that's the sin that really leads to all the other things changing, right? It's kind of like the thing, when our generation changes, the sin, how we view that sin changes. You know, and we've got to see, and you know, when was the last time you went to somebody, or even in your prayer time, you prayed to God and said, "God, help me. I am falling really short. I need help in just believing again." You know, or when's the last time you've gone to a brother or sister in the room? You know, and that's the great thing. Everybody's talking about relationships in the room. This is a church that really does. We're in each other's life. We're a small church, but we're in each other's life. And we love each other. But when was the last time you've gone to that person around you and you've said, "I just really, really need help with my faith"? I think that's a very rare thing that we confess. And I'll say it too. I'll confess some of the other things, but when it comes to my faith, I don't even think about that sometimes. Because I think, well, I'm a Christian, I should just have faith, and it's kind of a basic. But this is the thing that offended Jesus. And we've got to see how important, we've got to have humility, just like this boy's father. And then, you know, the spirit came on again. It convulsed him violently. And I mean, it was, you know, when Jesus was healing him, it says the boy looked like a corpse and he was dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and he lifted him up. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is that no matter where we are in our lives, none of us are in this situation where we got this evil spirit like this. But Jesus has this ability to pick us up by our arms and lift us up. And they showed him, and he's alive. You know, he does that in our life. But the apostles, they asked this question. You know, they said, "Well, Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do this? It seemed like we've been helping people before. Why in this situation could we not drive out this evil spirit?" And Jesus' answer was simply, "This kind can come out only by prayer." It can only happen through prayer. You know, what is prayer and why is prayer so important? Because prayer is leaning not on your own understanding or your own power, but it's leaning on God. You know, one of the things that I think the apostles did, they probably healed people before in the past and they were like, "I know how to do this, I'll just go and do it." Yeah. But I think they forgot to pray. I think they were not leaning on the power of Jesus. They were leaning more on their own power. Excuse me. You know, and the point I want to make here is, you know, some people say, well, it's not really about how much time you spend praying. And I think differently. Because I think that what this shows us here, because if really prayer is our leaning on God, then the amount of time you spend in prayer is a direct reflection on how much you depend on God. Let me say that again. The amount of time you spend in prayer is a direct reflection of how much you depend on God. You know, I talk to a lot of people all the time and saying, well, I pray. You know, I had that 2-minute prayer as I was in the shower, or I, you know, ran out the door late for work, and that's my prayer time as I'm going down. I mean, going to work in Auburn is like, you know, you go from one side to the other, it's like 10, 15. That's not prayer. That's like saying, hi, Jesus. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those prayer times. Please keep doing them. But we need to ask ourselves, and I need to ask myself, how much time do I spend in prayer?
Yeah.
Do I find myself with a few minutes, or do I find myself going over my time limit late for something because I prayed too much? That should be our problem, right? Because if we're leaning on God and His power, then prayer is the way to do that. Things can only change by His power. They can only change by prayer. You know, and sometimes we wonder, well, why don't I have great faith? Why don't I believe in the impossible things in my life? Why am I not seeing all these things that God's doing? Well, the first question I want to ask you is, how's your prayer life? How much, not just are you rambling through this prayer every day, the same thing, but how much in that prayer are you going to God and saying, God, I'm leaning on You. I'm depending on You for everything. I'm depending on You to show me the direction to go. I'm depending on You to show me what to do, where to go, how to do it. I'm depending on You for everything. You know, we've got to see that our prayer life is a direct reflection on how much you lean on God. These apostles, they were leaning on their own wisdom and their own power, and it didn't work. We got to lean on God's power too, and that's when we'll see amazing things happen. You know, and some people will say, well, I don't really have that much to pray about. Well, that's not the truth, because I want you to think about it. I mean, my life is pretty okay sometimes, but it's not that messed up. And I still have too many things. I don't even know where to fit them in because there's so much to pray about. Yeah. I mean, I got myself, and I got my sin and my insecurities and my shortcomings and my temptation. I got so many things just for me. But then I think about, well, then I got Marge in my life, and I got to pray about her. And then I got each one of you. And then, you know, I got a job, and you have school. And there's so many different things that we should be going, man, I just didn't have enough time to fit it all in today. I'll go back and I'll have a part two later because I had to go to work or something. But we got to see that the more that we pray is really the more that we're leaning on the power of God, and we're not leaning on our own power. You know, what seemingly impossible things right now, if you knew that God was going to do, could do in your life, what would be the things that you would pray for and really go after? You know, what seeming impossible things would you ask God to do if you knew without a doubt that He would do it? I want you to think about that. Because if we know He's going to change something, even how we carry out our lives is going to change, right? If we know He's going to do things in your life, what would you pray for? If you had 100% confidence that God's power is going to work through you, you know, what would you pray for in your life? What would you pray for in the lives of others around you? What would you pray for this church? What would you pray for the specific ministry that you're in? I mean, think about that. I mean, we're starting out a new year as Auburn and Tuskegee gets started. I mean, this is really our year. You know, January means nothing compared to right now. This is the new year. You know, and you guys start, we guys all start thinking about how much am I going to lean on God this year? How much am I going to trust in His way? If He can heal this boy with the evil spirit, what can He do in my life? How much time am I going to spend daily in prayer, leaning on God and crying out to Him and asking Him for help? You know, what kind of things would you pray for? You know, if you feel like this morning that your faith is beaten up or it's weak, well, I think the first question you got to ask yourself is, am I living in the right kingdom? You know, have I depended more on this generation and on the generation of this world, or have I depended more on God? Amen. You know, because God really wants us to believe that He can do the impossible in our lives. And He says this over and over in the Bible. You know, it's in many different places. That's what we're going to be studying out these next few weeks. We're going to look at some really impossible stories. We're going to look at some things that you'll go, wow, God could do that. If He can do that, He can probably take care of the little problem I got in my life. Yeah. You know, that's the faith we get from the Scripture. But we got to know that with God, nothing is impossible. Can you say that with me? With God, nothing is impossible. How about in school? With God, nothing is impossible. How about at work? With God, nothing is impossible. What about that sin that you've been trying to change for years now? You may have been a Christian for years and you've been struggling and you've been trying to change this thing in your life. With God, nothing is impossible. Guys, we got to remember that. We got to know that. We got to carry that with us. You know, there's a scripture, and we won't read this whole story, but this just a little bit further in the scriptures in Mark 27. I'll close out with this scripture. And this is the story of the rich young man. And you guys all know this story, so we won't go through it. Please read this if you don't know this story. It's a great, great story to go through. But in Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Guys, as we start this new season, if we start this new year, let's be a church that really has faith. Let's be a church that really goes after things, not with fear, not with worry, not with feeling like we may not be able to do it. Let's look at things this next year leaning on the power of Jesus. Let's make sure that we don't just tell people that, but let's live it out in our lives. Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling weak in your faith, please go to a brother or sister and ask them and just say, "I need to confess something to you. I really need help with my faith. Can you help me? Can we read scriptures? Can we pray together?" Okay, because I believe I have a lot of vision for this year. And, you know, even with all the things that have gone on in our life, I really believe that this is going to be one of the best years for the ATCC.
Come on.
I really believe that God is going to do amazing things in our lives. We're going to see people change. Yeah. You know, I can't wait in people of other lives, people that we meet on campus or at work in our neighborhoods. I mean, I can't wait to see what God is going to do. But we have got to start believing so that when we come in contact with these people, we can spread what Jesus has done in our life. And we can share with them, because guess what? You're going to meet people that are going through things in their life where they're feeling like this is impossible. And you can show them by your life and through the scriptures that with God, nothing is impossible. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I got something a little different for you this week. We're going to close out. And I'm going to give you three memory verses. Now, these are easy. I know you guys are thinking, "Oh, man, I got school just started, and I got all these tests." Okay, these are all about one sentence long, okay? This is just to really get you thinking this week. I want you to remember, write this down, please. Luke 18:27, Mark 9:23, and Matthew 10:27. Okay, Luke 18:27, Mark 9:23, and Matthew 10:23. 27. Okay? So this week, I want everybody to memorize those scriptures. So let's talk about that. And let's really see God do amazing things this year. But let's really lean on Him. And I believe that God really will show us that He's going to turn the impossible into the possible. Amen. Let's go ahead and close out with a prayer, and I think we have a song. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God. And Father, I just thank you for this story, and I thank you for all the scriptures we're going to read in the weeks coming about just the incredible things that you can do, the impossible things. That in our mind, when we look at these things, we see something that can't be accomplished. Mm-hmm. And yet, in your mind, these things are so easy to do. Father, I pray that you would build our faith. That you would build our faith and our conviction and help us, God, not to be living in this world, but help us to be living in your kingdom, Father. Help us not to be going the way. We don't want to think that next year our conviction about the Bible is going to be less than this year. We want to be growing closer to you. Father, please, God, build our faith. Father, build our faith. Help us to believe in the impossible. Help us to know, God, that with you, anything can happen. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with different things, God. I pray that you would really help them to overcome, to know that with you, they can overcome it. Father, I pray for the students that are going into maybe a really tough semester. I pray, God, that you would show them that with you, they can do anything. Father, I pray for marriages that need help, God, that with you, anything can happen. The impossible can happen. Father, we just really want to lean on you in everything we do as individuals and as a church, God. Father, please, God, just help us to lean more and more on you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.